Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
global equities gain as President Trump extends the trade truce with China.
China's been terrific. We want to make a deal that's great for both countries.
Still, caution remains on both sides of the aisle.
Meanwhile, Theresa May postpones a final vote on Brexit.
And economists see a U.S. recession coming by 2021.
President Trump leaves today for his summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, plus a top Democrat vows to sue to make the Mueller report public. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks beat the Spurs at the Garden, their first win at MSG since December 1st. Rangers lost in overtime in Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks around the world are gaining amid signs of progress on U.S.-China trade talks. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 10 points, Dow futures up 115, NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%, so is the CAC in Paris. The FTSE 100 is up about 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.5%, so did the Hang Seng in Hong Kong. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.66%, yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 9 cents to $57.35 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 80 cents to $13.32 an ounce. The euro, $1.1349, and the yen, 110.69. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with President Trump postponing the date to boost tariffs on Chinese goods. The move comes as he cites substantial progress in trade talks that wrapped up yesterday.
I tell you that whole relationship has been outstanding. We put ourselves into a position of strength for the first time in about 35 years, or probably a lot more than that. But China has been terrific. We want to make a deal that's great for both countries.
Now, further headway is made in negotiations. The president says he and Chinese leader Xi Jinping will meet at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida to conclude an agreement.
And that's leading to optimism about a deal, but there's also caution, including some from top U.S. trade negotiator Robert Lighthizer. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
USTR Lighthizer over the weekend said that there were still major hurdles between the two sides. And of course, our reporting suggesting that one of those hurdles was a disagreement around the enforcement of any deal on the yuan. Of course, the U.S. have been pushing the Chinese to say that they will keep the yuan stable because the U.S. are concerned that should they devalue it, it would mitigate the impact of tariffs. And apparently the enforcement mechanism, there are still details that need to be ironed out. And that has remained an area that the two sides need to close the gap on.
There's also caution coming from China, with the official Xinhua news agency publishing a commentary saying talks may face new uncertainties and that trade frictions are, quote, long-term complicated and arduous.
Still, stocks in China surged on the news, with the CSI 300 entering bull market territory. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The index of large-cap stocks listed in mainland China surged by almost 6%, posting its biggest one-day advance since August 2015. The gauge joins the small-cap Chinex index and the Shanghai Composite in bull market territory. They've rallied more than 20%. From their January 3 lows. It wasn't just trade optimism that boosted markets. Chinese brokerages surged after President Xi indicated China will deepen reform in the finance sector and further open up the industry. It was a sixth session of gains for the MSCI Asia Pacific Index, with every major equity market closing higher, keeping that index at October levels. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Turning to Europe now, it's all about Brexit this morning, with UK Prime Minister Theresa May raising the stakes in a battle with members of her own cabinet. Bloomberg's Jessica Schenkelman reports from London.
Theresa May pushed back the deadline for Parliament to vote on her Brexit deal to 12th of March. It's a gamble she hopes will buy her more time for negotiations, but also risks inflaming the revolt against her plan. The Prime Minister confirmed she won't bring a new divorce deal back to the House of Commons for a final vote this week. Instead, she's asking already sceptical members of Parliament to give her more time to renegotiate and then vote just 17 days before the UK is set to leave the bloc, with or without a deal. In London, Jessica Schenkelman, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thanks. In Italy, bonds are rallying this morning after Fitch Ratings kept the country's credit rating unchanged. That's easing fears that Italy would be downgraded to junk. Still, the agency warns a high level of government debt poses risks.
Turning to corporate news now, we have a deal in the drug industry. Roche Holding is buying Philadelphia-based Spark Therapeutics for $4.8 billion. It's an acquisition that could transform Roche into a leader in gene therapy.
And we got earnings from Berkshire Hathaway over the weekend, plus commentary from Warren Buffett in the chairman's annual letter. Bloomberg's Susanna Palmer reports.
Berkshire's operating earnings rose 71% from the prior year. The company also broke with tradition, buying back $1.3 billion in stock last year. Berkshire is currently sitting on $112 billion in cash, and while Buffett wants to spend that on a big acquisition, he doesn't see it happening soon. Buffett also makes it clear he wants Berkshire to remain one company when he's gone, saying the whole is considerably greater than the sum of the parts. Susanna Palmer, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Susanna, thank you. When it comes to the U.S. economy, most economists now see a recession coming in less than 2 years. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. A National Association for Business Economic Survey of Economists shows 10% see a recession beginning this year. 42% project one next year, while 25% expect a contraction starting in 2021. NABE members were divided on the impact of the Fed's balance sheet normalization process. Asked about the impact of the tightening on short-term funding rates, a fifth saw no impact. A fifth said it would raise rates by 25 basis points, and another fifth said they would rise 50 basis points or more. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. This week promises to be a busy one when it comes to economic news. Tomorrow, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell begins 2 days of congressional testimony. On Thursday, we get a reading on fourth quarter GDP, and Friday, it's manufacturing PMI and ISM manufacturing figures. Taking a look at the markets this morning, futures pointed higher with S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 121, NASDAQ futures up 36 points. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Good Monday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump leaves for Vietnam today for his 2-day summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president spoke at a White House formal dinner for the National Governors Association winter meeting.
I'm not pushing for speed, but we're not removing the sanctions. And we're going to have, I think, a very interesting 2.5 days.
Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un is taking the train from his capital city of Pyongyang to Hanoi, Vietnam, an epic journey that is expected to take nearly 3 days and have him arrive a day ahead of the summit with President Donald Trump later this week. It would mark the second time the two are meeting to hammer out a deal to denuclearize North Korea. The first time they met in Singapore last June, Trump and Kim agreed to general terms on disarming North Korea of nuclear weapons, but little progress has been made since, which has prompted some analysts to lower their expectations of a breakthrough in denuclearization talks. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the president wants Kim to prove he's ready to act in good faith to denuclearize North Korea. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff vowed to subpoena Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and sue President Trump's administration for the underlying evidence, if necessary, to make it public. Schiff on ABC's This Week.
Absolutely. We are going to get to the bottom of this. We are going to share this information with the public. And if the president is serious about all of his claims of exoneration, then he should welcome the publication of this report.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Air travel could be disrupted today in the Northeast from high winds. Gusts of 50 to 60 miles an hour are blowing through New York. New York City is holding a special election tomorrow. Voters would choose the next public advocate. The office was left vacant after Letitia James resigned to take the office of state attorney general. Green Book, a movie about race relations in the South in the 60s, was crowned Best Picture at the Oscars last night. Olivia Colman won for Best Actress. Rami Malek won for Best Actor. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stasha.
Nathan, the Knicks with their first win at the Garden since December 1st. They had lost 18 in a row at MSG. Club record. They were nearing the NBA record, but they went up by 23 on San Antonio. Stunned the Spurs, 130-118. Young players led the way. Damian Dotson, 27 points. He hit 8 three-pointers. Dennis Smith Jr. with 19 and 13 assists for Mitchell Robinson. 15 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. The Knicks coach, David Fizdale.
We didn't talk about it in the locker room. None of it. We just, you know, like I said, every night, for whatever reason, and that's why I really like this group of guys, they get over it fast, and they get back to work. They get over it, they get back to work. And at some point, you know, the basketball guys will look out for you when you're doing that.
Knicks superfan Spike Lee, just after winning the Academy Award, was told about the Knicks' win and responded, "But I thought we were trying to tank." The Rangers in a matinee in Washington. Chris Kreider scored 21 seconds in. Jimmy Vesey scored 21 seconds into the third period. Brady Shea scored with 31 seconds left in the third to tie the game. But Evgeny Kuznetsov poked one in with 40 seconds left in overtime. The Caps over the Blue Shirts 6-5. College hoops. Rutgers beat Minnesota. Manhattan lost to Fairfield. Iona down Canisius. All offseason, the baseball world has waited to see where Bryce Harper was headed as a free agent. It looks like the Phillies, the deal could be complete by tomorrow. Spring training, Yankees beat the Rays 8-5. Long 475-foot home run for Luke Voit. Mets lost to the Astros 10-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, we have some IPO news coming out of a popular home cycling company. Exercise startup Peloton has chosen Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase to lead its initial public offering. Bloomberg News has learned the IPO could value the company at more than $8 billion. Peloton sells exercise bikes and treadmills that have tablets attached so users can watch live-streamed fitness classes. S&P futures up nearly 10 points now. Dow futures up 120. NASDAQ futures up 35.5. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 5:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia advancing alongside U.S. stock index futures after President Donald Trump postponed the date for boosting tariffs on Chinese imports in the latest sign of progress in the trade talks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 12 points. Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures up 40. The DAX in Germany is up 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.66%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up to about 0.2%, up 9 cents to $57.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 80 cents to $13.32 an ounce. The euro, $1.1353, and the yen, 110.69. Today we are watching for a report on wholesale trade out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. And we continue to watch Spark Therapeutics up 120% in early trading on the news it's being bought by Roche Holdings for $4.8 billion. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump leaves for Hanoi today for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that North Korea remains a nuclear threat. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says his committee will not allow the public to remain in the dark about Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. The Democrat in California says he will sue if necessary to get the report. Green Book won for Best Picture at last night's Oscars. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game losing streak at home to beat the Spurs 130-118. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in overtime against the Capitals 6-5. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest on this Monday morning, Carsten Brzeski, chief economist at ING. Nice to talk with you this morning, Carsten. Of course, so much attention still on the trade dispute between the U.S. and China. I'd want to get your read on the president delaying the rising of tariffs past the March 1st deadline. What does that mean for global growth prospects going forward?
Yeah, good morning. I think it's a good sign, and more or less playing out as we had expected it. So a compromise and a deal is in the offing and in the making, because it's good news for the global economy. Because if we really get this compromise in the second quarter, then we will see some relief for the global economy. We'll see that global trade will pick up again, and that this could then nicely add to a rebound of the global economy towards the end of the first half of this year.
How dependent is the Eurozone on the U.S. and China getting this right?
It is dependent, but I think fears here in Europe are that once there is a deal between the U.S. and China, that then the U.S. administration might target the EU with imposing some tariffs. I must say I'm a bit more relaxed here. So first of all, for clearly the dependence of the Eurozone on global trade means we would see a nice rebound of the Eurozone economy if there is a deal between the U.S. and China. And then we probably would go through the same structure between the U.S. and the EU to also agree on some kind of trade deal. And if we would get this also by the summer this year, it would be nicely playing out for the Eurozone economy.
So then do you expect that the U.S. and EU would come to some sort of trade agreement by this year?
Eventually they will. I expect that probably first things could get a bit rougher. Because I would still imagine that the U.S. administration at least will try to threat with imposing tariffs on cars, but then probably going along the same route as the U.S. is now going with China, so threatening to impose them, but never really imposing them, but using it as a nice negotiation tool with the EU, which means that I think really around the summer we should also get a deal between the U.S. and the EU.
And in the meantime, what should investors be thinking about in terms of hedging their bets if the president does indeed go ahead with higher tariffs on auto imports?
I think obviously if the president would really go ahead and not only threaten it but really impose them, it would come at the most inconvenient time for Europe, because Europe will also clearly be dealing with any fallout from the Brexit. We're also still somehow in a situation in which the economy is about to bottom out. The tariffs would clearly hurt the German economy. So when you look at the math, it could shave off another 0.2 percentage points of growth. And then coming in a situation in which there is doubt about how strong the German economy really is, it could lead to a very bad negative sentiment loop.
Where do you see the strength of the German economy at this point? Because we've seen sort of diverging factors in the German economy, with manufacturing looking like it's contracting, while the services sector seems to be improving.
I think there are many positive aspects about the German economy. I think the headline numbers we see out there are too pessimistic. We see, first of all, as you rightly said, we see this divergence between the service industry and the manufacturing industry. Service industry is much bigger than the manufacturing industry. Also illustrates how strong domestic demand is in Germany. Construction, investment, consumption, they were all up in the fourth quarter. So the only thing is the German economy still needs some time to cope and to resolve this emission norm delay in the automotive production we had and towards the end of last year. So the WLTP story, but this should be resolved in the coming month. So therefore, I think really currently the German economy is stronger than its reputation based on headline figures.
And with about less than a minute to go here, the European Central Bank meets again in less than 2 weeks. What options do policymakers have when it comes to combating signs of a slowdown in Europe?
Currently, first of all, it's words sounding more dovish again. If push where really comes to shove, and if things were getting worse, then what could the ECB do? They could extend their forward guidance on rates. They could announce another liquidity operation for the banks. And if things were really getting worse, they would have to restart QE.
Carsten Brzeski, chief economist at ING. Thanks so much for this. Always good to get your insights here on Bloomberg Daybreak. And as we take a look at the markets this morning, they are moving higher with S&P futures up 12 points, Dow futures up 143, NASDAQ futures up 41 points. The Stock 600 in Europe is up nearly 0.3%. 10-year price down 5/32. The yield at 2.67%. Two-year treasuries are at 2.50%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are rising around the world after President Trump postponed the date for boosting tariffs on Chinese imports. We get the latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
President Trump cited progress on structural issues, including intellectual property rights protection, technology transfer, and currency. Xinhua echoed Trump's tweet, citing substantial progress. But a commentary later said the talks may face new uncertainties. It said frictions are long-term, complicated, and arduous. It didn't seem to matter. Chinese risk assets vaulted higher. Trump said he and President Xi Jinping would meet in Florida if further progress was made. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. The Fed will also be in focus this week as Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testifies on Capitol Hill. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The Fed chair will testify to the Senate Banking Committee on Tuesday and the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday. An advanced copy of the Fed's semiannual report to Congress says the economy faces potential headwinds, including slower global growth. Separately, this week's data calendar includes GDP, housing starts, consumer confidence, and the ISM Factory Index. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. According to a survey by the National Association for Business Economics, more than three quarters of business economists expect the U.S. to enter a recession by the end of 2021.
In Europe, Theresa May once again postponed a final vote on her Brexit divorce agreement. The U.K. Prime Minister set a new deadline of March 12th, just 17 days before Brexit Day, for Parliament to vote on the deal she is still negotiating.
We have a couple of deals this morning. Swiss drug maker Roche will buy biotech company Spark Therapeutics for $4.8 billion. Spark up 119% this morning.
And Chlamydia Pharmaceuticals is up 74%. It's being bought by French biopharmaceutical company Ipsen for $1.3 billion.
And Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at eisneramper.com/QOFbook. S&P futures higher this morning, up about 12 points. Dow futures up 141. NASDAQ futures up 39. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32. They yield 2.66%. And the euro at $1.1358. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump leaves for Hanoi today for his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump and Kim will meet for a two-day summit starting Wednesday. President Trump spoke during remarks at a former dinner at the National Governors Association winter meeting in Washington.
We have a chance for the total denuclearization of an area of the world that was very dangerous.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that North Korea remains a nuclear threat. Pompeo told CNN State of the Union the president wants Kim to prove he's ready to act in good faith.
I don't want to get into the details of what's being proposed, what the offers and counteroffers may be. But a real step, a demonstrable, verifiable step, is something that I know President Trump is very focused on achieving.
Former Trump personal attorney Michael Cohen appears before Congress this week. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, says Cohen has a lot to offer.
What other light can he shed now that he's cooperating on issues of obstruction of justice or collusion? What more can he tell us about the Trump Tower New York meeting or any other issues relevant to our investigation?
Schiff says as well as a Russian connection, Cohen should be able to shed light on the Trump organization as a whole. Meanwhile, best reporting has that the Mueller report results will not be released this week, potentially next. And Congressman Schiff says the public will know what is in it. And through a number of means, we'll know to what extent the Russians interfered with the U.S. election and whether there was collusion with the President of the United States. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Schiff has vowed to subpoena Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and sue the Trump administration if necessary to make it public. Violent clashes involving Venezuelan troops erupted along the border as protesters attempted to deliver humanitarian aid. Soldiers loyal to President Nicolas Maduro, who've been blocking humanitarian aid sent from the U.S., launched tear gas and opened fire on civilians in some clashes. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio visited Iowa over the weekend as he weighs a bid for the White House. De Blasio, at a union hall in Des Moines, says, as a progressive, as someone who believes that we need to change this country, we need to change the Democratic Party. Green Book won Best Picture at the Oscars last night. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, 10 days ago, the Knicks with a win in Atlanta ended an 18-game losing streak. Last night, they beat the Spurs, 130-118, and that ends their 18-game home losing streak. They hadn't won at the Garden since December 1st. 85 days later, David Fizdale's team treated the fans to a victory.
They just have been so supportive. You know, even in our losses, the amount of support that I've been getting and the team's been getting has been phenomenal. You know, obviously no one wants to lose and go through, you know, a losing season, but you know, understanding where we are and what we're trying to accomplish, which, you know, I really commend our fans for how they've been, you know, really staying behind us.
Damian Dotson led the Knicks 27 points. He had 8 three-pointers. Dennis Smith with 19, 13 assists. And for the young center, Mitchell Robinson, 15 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Rangers lost in overtime at Washington, 6-5. They just traded Matt Zuccarello to Dallas in his debut with the Stars. He scored a goal, had an assist, and then broke his arm. He's going to miss about a month. College hoops, much improved. Rutgers beat Minnesota 68-64, sixth Big Ten win of the year. They won a total of 9 over their first 4 seasons in the league. Villanova lost at Xavier, third straight loss to the defending national champs. Manhattan lost at Fairfield. Iona beat Canisius. Michigan State with a big win at Michigan. Golf in Mexico, Dustin Johnson 21 under par, won by 5 shots over Rory McIlroy. Yankees beat the Rays 8-5, a long homer for Luke Voit. Mets lost to the Astros 10-1. Free agent Bryce Harper appears to be on the verge of a deal with the Phillies. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's a special double issue focused on real estate, including why private equity firms are following Blackstone into the real estate sector. Stephen Gandel wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's $136 billion. It's larger slightly than the private equity portfolio, and it's become a winner, that so much that everyone else wants to do the Blackstone model.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea, daily nonstop flights to the U.K. in partnership with Delta Airlines. Hello, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has proposed shifting a quarter of teachers' pension costs to municipalities. The plan would extend the hospital tax and impose taxes on services ranging from movie downloading to financial planning to help close a $3.7 billion deficit. Just over a week before the Armory International Art Show was supposed to open in Manhattan, a city inspection reveals one of two West Side piers that housed the event is unsound.
The New York Times says organizers will relocate most of the exhibits from damaged Pier 92 to nearby Pier 90. New Jersey is the first state in the U.S. to allow sportsbooks to accept bets on the Oscars. The AP says casinos see it as a way to attract more customers to the sportsbook. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podisk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'm talking about a Missouri Supreme Court ruling that could help Johnson & Johnson defeat talc lawsuits.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that mangoes from Florida are about to have some competition at the local grocery store.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on Massachusetts Stop & Shop employees voting to authorize a strike.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a warning of food shortages from the maker of Twinings tea if there's a no-deal Brexit.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Warren Buffett says he wants to spend Berkshire Hathaway's growing cash pile on a giant acquisition.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Nissan will shift production of some engines for its Infiniti brand to the U.S. from Japan.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Morning pointing to gains on Wall Street with S&P futures up nearly 12 points. Dow futures up 144. NASDAQ futures up 41.5. The DAX in Germany up 0.3%. The CAC in Paris up 0.4%. The FTSE in London up 0.2%. Price of the 10-year down 5/32. The yield 2.66%. Two-year Treasury 2.50%. This is Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. It's coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio, streaming live 24 hours a day on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, the iHeartRadio app, and Bloomberg.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and Asia are advancing alongside U.S. stock index futures after President Donald Trump postponed the date for boosting tariffs on Chinese imports in the latest sign of progress in the trade talks. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 12 points this morning. Dow futures up 145. NASDAQ futures up 42. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 2.66%. Yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 13 cents to $57.39 a barrel. COMEX gold is down almost 0.1%, down a dollar to $13.31.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1366, and the yen, 110.74. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump leaves for Hanoi, Vietnam today, the site of a second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump tweeted that the two leaders expect a continuation of progress, and then the president added the word denuclearization. Democratic representative and chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, says he's prepared to take the Trump administration to court if Robert Mueller's report is not made public. Air travel could be disrupted today in the Northeast from wind gusts of 50 to 60 miles an hour. High wind warnings have been issued from Iowa to Maine. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game home losing streak to beat the Spurs. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in OT against the Capitals 6-5. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All righty, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. That is our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan joins us this morning from our London bureau. And Jen, let's start with this interesting look that Julian Lee is taking on one of the odder results of the boom in shale oil. He writes, "Get used to oil tankers hauling seawater to America." What is going on here?
Well, it is a really interesting result because if you think about more broadly about how the global oil market works, the crude oil has always been flowing backwards and forwards across the world's ocean. A ship that starts in the Middle East will land in the U.S. Gulf Coast, down to Venezuela, and then over to China and India. Of course, vessels only earn money when they're full. But lately, soaring U.S. production and OPEC output cuts, along with sanctions on Iran and Venezuela, are making it really a lot harder to find cargoes to haul both ways for these ships. So the result is a procession of empty supertankers making voyages of as much as 21,000 miles to the U.S. direct from Asia, holding nothing but seawater for stability.
Yes, for stability. So what does this mean for the stability of the oil market?
Well, the only way we're going to see a return to the days when tankers were full on all legs of their journeys doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon because it requires the Saudis backpedaling from their planned output reductions. It's worth thinking how this all got started. I mean, President Barack Obama lifted a 40-year ban on U.S. crude oil exports in 2015, and that set in motion a wave of shipments that have soared. And they got to a point where it was more than the average January exports of every OPEC member except for Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And so that's what helped, was contributing to the two-way flows in oil cargoes.
Yeah, and you got to wonder whether, some of the sanctions that we're seeing on Venezuela and Iran are going to lead to even more tankers being filled halfway with seawater.
I mean, that is really an important contributing factor. And then what you can add into that is, where are the imports coming from in the U.S.? Well, they're dropping from the likes of Nigeria. And then in addition, the Saudis have focused their production cuts on the American market. So all of that put together means that you've got less oil flowing westwards towards the United States and a reduction flowing eastwards from the other direction. So as U.S. crude exports continue to grow and OPEC shipments in the opposite direction remain constrained, this trend of cargo ships being filled up with seawater is probably going to continue.
So for probably quite some time then.
It does look like it. The data you want to watch is the EIA data on U.S. imports, and that could perhaps give you the first read of whether the Saudis have started to change their tune in terms of the focus for their cuts in American shipments.
All right. Let's move on to a piece by Marcus Ashworth with a rather interesting headline. Coke arrives in Europe before bonds go flat. That's kind of cute. What's this European invasion that Marcus is focused on?
Well, we're looking at a really busy week in the European investment grade corporate bond market. It's not just a jumble deal from Coke, but also a U.S. company called Medtronic. So it's a little bit of an American invasion going on here. The broader picture is that corporate supply is really just going like gangbusters. It's up over 70% so far this year compared with last year. And in addition, spreads are tightening both in the secondary market and on new issues.
But there's a catch?
Of course there's a catch. So, look, you've got this incredible feeding frenzy. I mean, if you've got a country such as Cyprus, which manages to attract more than 8 billion euros of orders for a 1 billion euro issue, it's looking pretty frothy. And so Ashworth's point is that this is due to calm down. A lot of the cash that had been building up over the tail end of 2018 has now been put to work. And so the dynamics are sort of changing in the bond market. And so is this American invasion going to continue? Well, perhaps not, because the arbitrage advantage for a U.S. issuer coming to sell bonds in euros and then convert it back to dollars really isn't all that great.
So does this mean the last days of good times in European new issues are just around the corner?
Well, you don't want to be churlish. You don't want to call the bottom here. I mean, it still looks like it's a pretty active market. But Ashworth's point is that it's not the turning point, but it's getting to that fragile point where if you've got one company that markets a badly structured deal, it's too big, it's too expensive, it's got the wrong maturity, the investor base can really just pull back quite quickly. And so Ashworth's point is that we've seen the really big rush of cash to start with, and now there's going to be a little bit more selection going on.
All right. Bloomberg Opinion Editor Jennifer Ryan joining us from our London Bureau. Jen, thanks as always. You can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion on Bloomberg.com/opinion. And if you're a Bloomberg Terminal subscriber, all you have to do is type OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is coming up to 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Mangoes from Hawaii and Florida will get competition from Vietnam beginning next month. The Department of Agriculture has cleared the fruit for import as long as it has passed inspections for bacterial disease and black mango spot. The Senate Finance Committee will open a bipartisan probe into the high cost of insulin as the committee prepares to hear from pharmaceutical company CEOs. And last night's Academy Award nominees for acting and directing received swag bags valued at around $100,000. And some items in those bags come with potentially hefty taxes.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. In other legal news, Philadelphia is suing seven of the largest Wall Street investment banks, accusing them of colluding to fix prices on floating rate bonds. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Cornell University law professor Robert Hockett.
The claim is that banks that are responsible for resetting the rates on these particular floating rate bonds on a weekly basis were colluding to set those rates. They weren't sort of abiding by their contractual obligations to try to set them as low as possible, given market conditions. Instead, they were supposedly, the claim is that they were colluding together to set them at particular rates that were, in effect, indifferent to or unmindful of market conditions, and that in consequence, what ended up happening was that the various entities in question that issued these bonds were paying much higher interest rates over time, over the last 11 years, than they otherwise would have done. Right. So the suit has been brought under a variety of different antitrust statutes, including the usual suspects, the Sherman Act and the Clayton Act. And that means, of course, that the claimants are also seeking treble damages, which are available under those two enactments.
A whistleblower from one of the firms led to investigations by the Justice Department and the Securities mm-hmm. Exchange Commission starting in 2015. And often it's mm-hmm. the government suits that lead to civil lawsuits. Why has there been no action by government regulators here?
Well, that's a tough one, June. My first thought would be that, they're sort of overburdened. They're investigating so much in these recent years that it's taken them, longer to get at this. They wanted to be sure before they proceeded.
And that's Cornell University law professor Robert Hockett speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning moving higher with S&P Futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 159, and NASDAQ futures up 44. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.4%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.50%, and the 30-year yield at 3.02%. The euro at $1.1364. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.